Morning, family. How we doing? This is a lot of people, man. This is great. Hey, check this out. First of all, if you can, if you're able to, scooch. The word scooch is Hebrew for make some room. If it's at all possible on your row, we got some people in the back waiting to have a seat. Hello to everybody who's next door in the overflow room. Got some people sitting in the overflow room next door. Really, really excited about today. Today's a special day, significant day. It's the one day of the year I pull up my clip-on tie and my jacket, and we throw it on for a little celebration, right? Because today's significant. It's special. The tomb is empty. It's Easter Sunday, and he is risen. And just because you may not believe that doesn't make it not true. It's a historical reality that Jesus is alive. He came to earth. He lived the perfect life you could not live. He was betrayed at the hands of men. He died on a cross. He rose again 3 days later, defeating death, hell, and the devil, and he has the victory over death, and that gives us hope. More on that in a second, okay? And so I'm really, really excited. I did make a promise that because we're doing three services today, I'm not preaching as long. So I'm only going an hour today, and we'll be fine. Well, nothing can go wrong. Hey, check this out real quick. One of the reasons I love Easter so much, and there's a lot of reasons I love Easter Sunday, but one of the reasons I love Easter Sunday is because it's sort of like an official signal that spring is finally here, right? Which is good news. Like, winter is gone. Praise be to God. Amen. Winter's gone. Spring is finally here. We're finally in spring, officially in spring. And I love that. And everywhere we look, man, everywhere we look, we see the signs of spring, right? The grass is getting greener, and the trees are blooming, and my eyes are swollen and feel like they're on fire because I'm allergic to pollen, and I'm dropping Zyrtec like they're Tic Tacs, and it's just like spring, totally spring, really excited about spring. And one of the other signs, at least at our place, at our house, one of the other signs that spring is officially here is that our home, our yard, has for some strange reason officially been infiltrated and attacked by these little jokers right here. Anybody having issues? Anybody having issues with the carpenter bees at all? I don't know what it is about our home, man, but they have circumvented the joint. They're swarming around like they're going in for the kill, and they're plotting something, and you can't go outside without some carpenter bee following you around, right? Getting all up in your business. And so, like, earlier this week, my wife and I, we had this moment as parents where we're like, we need to escape from the children. And so we went out to the back porch, and we just like, let's just have a conversation, and we're sipping some lemonade, and we're talking about our day, right? We're talking about, how was your day? Well, how was my day? And we're talking about our day, and so I got my arm around my wife on the little sofa, outdoor sofa, on the patio on the porch, and no kidding, y'all, I'm talking to my wife, I'm saying words to her, and as I'm saying words to her, I get thumped in the back of the head. I mean, that's what it felt. It felt like somebody thumped. It was like middle school all over again, right? It's like, bam. And it was like, and it was painful. And so, like, what just happened? And so I look, and there's a carpenter bee just hit me, and they just assaulted me. And now he's hovering in front, like he's looking at me like, come on, what you gonna do? He's like taunting me. He's just hovering. And I said to my wife, I said, babe, that thing just hit me in the back of the head. She goes, hey, isn't that cute? I said, no, that's wicked. That's not cute. That's evil. That's wrong. And so you know what I did? I took off my flip-flop, and I started chasing it, right? And I'm swinging my flip-flop around it. And my wife looks at me. She goes, babe, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? I said, I'm going to kill that joker. She goes, baby, you can't kill that. It's one of God's precious creatures. I said, well, he started it. And it became real clear, man, that my wife and I are looking at, we're both looking at the same thing. We're seeing the same thing, but we each have different perspectives of what we're looking at, right? We're looking at the same thing, but we have different thoughts as to what that thing is. So for my wife, she sees the carpenter bee, and she sees a cute, precious, fuzzy little yellow creation of God. And I'm looking at the carpenter bee, and I see a spawn of Satan who somehow miraculously survived the great flood and needs to be eliminated, right? So we're looking at the same thing, but we have two different thoughts about what it is. Now here's why I tell you that story. So Easter Sunday today, it's sort of a lot like a carpenter bee, okay? And what I mean by that is this. So Easter Sunday is kind of this thing that we look at, and different people have different ideas of what it's about, right? We look at Easter Sunday and different people have different thoughts as to what makes this day significant, right? So for example, family, some people look at Easter Sunday and they happen to believe that it's a day that's primarily about egg hunts and good ham and deviled eggs and finding the prize egg from grandma with the $50 in it, right? And that's what it primarily is about, is that stuff. And culturally, man, we've kind of even made it, you know, sort of primarily about that. I don't know. So there's these people who study things like this and have way too much time on their hands. And what they found out is this. It's a true story. Did you know, family, that last year alone, last Easter, here in the United States of America, we as Americans spent $19 million on eggs, plastic eggs, right? We spent $2.6 billion on Easter candy, right? The Cadbury stuff and the little peep things that my daughter's like. We spent $5.5 billion on baskets. Now, here's the thing. I'm not an Easter Scrooge, okay? I think baskets are great. There's nothing wrong with eggs. I would love to find grandma's prize egg, honestly, with $50 in it. That'd be great. I'm not an Easter Scrooge. All I'm saying is that's not primarily what this day is about, right? And so we got to be careful, but there's some people who look at the day like today and they go, primarily that's what it's about, is the chocolate stuff and the good ham and the family, right? But the reality is, family, other people look at Easter Sunday and they believe, catch this, they believe that today is actually about celebrating the greatest event that's ever happened in the history of all history. Now, I'm going to lay all my cards out on the table, and this may not surprise you because I am a pastor and this is a church, but that's what I happen to believe. That's what I happen to believe. That's why today's a celebration. That's why I don't normally dress like this. I don't do this. I don't even like it. I feel like when Saul gave David his armor, he's like, what is this, right? But today's a celebration because today's about celebrating the greatest event in the history of history, namely the fact that God sent his only son, Jesus, to pursue a bunch of sinners like us who are flawed and destined for hell. And God in his love sent his only son, Jesus, to live the perfect life for us, to die on a cross, to rise again from a grave 3 days later, defeating death, hell, and the devil so that we might have hope. So that a bunch of hopeless people's lives could be changed forever. And by the way, can I just tell you this? Because I know some of you are new. Maybe some of you, it's the first time ever at a church. But can I tell you, if this is your first time ever at a church, you're in here kicking the tires on this thing and just seeing how weird these people are, can I just go ahead and tell you, the church is not about a bunch of people who think they're perfect, who gather together to talk about and think about how perfect they are. The church is a bunch of completely jacked people who need a savior. That's who we are, is we're just a bunch of people who realize, man, we're flawed. Hope there's a hero. Oh, cool, there is. His name is Jesus, and he loves us, and he wants to save us from our sin, right? That's what the church is about. So some of y'all, man, you're all tainted, and you go, man, I don't want to go to church. It's full of hypocrites. That's where they belong. Yes. Where else should what better place for hypocrites to go than to a place where Jesus can save them? And so that's what this is all about. It's about acknowledging the fact that we need a Savior and Jesus is Him. And right out of the gate, I want to be real clear about something. Y'all got to understand, the resurrection of Jesus is the most important idea in the history of all history. Here's why I say that. Here's why I say there's no other idea more important than the resurrection of Jesus. It's because, family, get this, if the resurrection of Jesus did not actually occur, if it's all just fake, if it's all just a farce, if it's all just a legend and a tale and a story, if the resurrection of Jesus did not happen, then it literally means that none of this stuff is true. Like, we're wasting our time. If Jesus didn't rise from the grave, this is, what we're doing is sort of dumb if Jesus didn't rise from the grave, right? Well, we're getting together in here on Sunday when the weather's up. We should be at the lake if Jesus didn't rise from the grave. If Jesus didn't rise from the grave, none of the songs that we're singing today are true. None of what we're talking about today is true. None of what the Bible says about Jesus is true. None of what Jesus taught in the Bible is true if Jesus didn't rise from the grave. Beloved, the reality is if the resurrection of Jesus did not happen, none of this is true, which is exactly why the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says this. He says, hey, if Christ is not raised from the dead, we're to be pitied above everybody. There's no one more sad in the world than a Christian if Jesus didn't really come out of that tomb. But get this, if the resurrection of Jesus did actually happen, then it literally means that every single thing that Jesus ever taught is true. Everything that Jesus said has weight. Everything that Jesus said is completely and totally true. And it also means this. If the resurrection of Jesus is true, if Jesus is really alive, if he really came out of that tomb 3 days after he was crucified, then it also means that what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1 is totally true. And for those of you who are new, so we preach the books of the Bible here at Emmaus, and we're going through 1 Peter. We've been in 1 Peter verse by verse, chapter by chapter for like 15 weeks now. And back once upon a time, back some weeks ago, we were in 1 Peter chapter 1, and there was a portion in there where Peter starts to talk about the resurrection of Jesus, what it means, why it matters, why it's important. We didn't spend a ton of time there because I knew we'd be back here on Easter. So we're gonna rewind a little bit, go back to 1 Peter chapter 1 and see what our boy Peter has to say about the resurrection and why a day like Easter Sunday is so significant. So let's do this, family. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Here's this guy, Peter, the Apostle Peter. He's writing to a bunch of Christians living in Asia Minor. It's hard. It's hard to be a follower of Jesus in this culture. And yet he writes to them about the hope they have in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And here's what he says. Verse 3, Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And I love that there's an exclamation point right there. Peter was totally Pentecostal. "According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." So follow this, family, get this. The really significant and important statement that Peter just made right out of the chute is this right here. And this is number one if you're taking notes. First thing I want you to get today, family, is this. Number one, the resurrection of Jesus gives us hope. The resurrection of Jesus gives us hope. Listen, I don't know if you've watched the news lately or ever, but we could use some hope up in here. Amen? Like in this world with humanity, we could use a little bit of hope. Matter of fact, this is something all of us can agree on. I don't care if you're like a militant atheist or a follower of Jesus. One of the common places we can land is, yeah, the world could kind of use some hope. Humanity, people could sort of use some hope. I mean, it seems like everything's on fire sometimes. We could use some hope. And you got to understand what Peter's telling us is the resurrection of Jesus gives people like us hope. Beloved, this is why we celebrate Easter. This is why we throw a party every single Easter Sunday. I mean, every single Easter Sunday, it's the same thing up in here. We get together and we talk about the resurrection. And we talk about what it means and the purpose. We do the same thing over and over again. And the reason is it gives us hope. This is why we clap. This is why we sing. This is why we scream louder than a middle schooler on a roller coaster. This is why we eat ham to the glory of God. Amen? That's why we do all the stuff. All the things we do. All the things we do today is for this reason right here. It's because contrary to popular belief, family, Easter is not primarily about a creepy little bunny who passes out candy to kids in penny loafers and pastel colors. But instead, Easter is first and foremost, primarily, even exclusively, about a risen Savior who gives hope to hopeless people. That's the point. That's why it's such a special day, a significant moment, particularly in the Christian calendar for centuries, man, is because it's that moment where we celebrate the fact that though we were hopeless, we now have hope because Jesus is alive. So follow this, family, just in case you're here today and you don't know what it means that the resurrection gives us hope. You're like, pray tell, Mr. Guy in the weird blue coat. Somebody asked me if I rented this earlier, man. You're like, hey man, please tell me, how exactly do we have hope? What does that mean that we have hope? The resurrection gives us hope. Here's how, okay? And if you, you know, if maybe you realize this, if you don't realize this, consider a public service announcement on Easter Sunday. Here's the reality, just so you know, just so we're clear. One day, we are all going to die. Doesn't that bless your heart? Right, isn't that good news, right? You're like, thank you, preacher. That's why I got out of bed today. Thank you. I woke up this morning, I was thinking two things. Man, the two things I want today on Easter Sunday, a good ham and a death talk. That'd be fantastic. But it's true. One day we're all gonna die. Listen, could be a month from now, might be 50 years from now, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. You're like, I eat spinach. Gross. It's still gonna happen. I work out, I do Pilates, I do weird Richard Simmons stuff. You're gonna die. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how fit you are, what you eat, what you put in your body. The reality is what we all have in common is we're all going to die. One day, man, no matter how fit you are, how active you are, your diet, your heart will stop. Your body will give out. You will have a funeral. After your funeral, people will come back to your house, eat potato salad and fried chicken, talk about your life, and then they'll go on with their lives until one day they die too. This is how it works. Hakuna Matata, circle of life. It's just sort of the thing, right? It's the curse of sin. Death is a real thing. It's like one person said once, I don't know if you heard this before, they said, you know what death is? Death is the great leveler. It's the great leveler. It touches everybody, irrespective of who you are, right? Death is no respecter of persons. Death doesn't like avoid you based on your resume and your accomplishments and what you've done. Oh, I'm too impressed to take that person out. The curse of sin, death touches everyone. Think about it. Homeless people die and billionaires die. Republicans die and Democrats die. Young people die and old people die. Skinny people die and not so skinny people die. And religious people die and hardcore atheists die. And high school dropouts die and Harvard graduates die. And it goes on and on and on. And where it stops, no one knows. This is how it works. Death is the great leveler. And again, I know what some of you are thinking. I can see your faces. You're like, what a great sermon. Thank you for this. I thought this was a Emmaus church, not emo church. Maybe you should change the name or... maybe we close out with a Pink Floyd song, everyone weep. That'd be great, right? Death, yay. And I get it. I totally get it. We don't like talking about death. This is why we don't bring up the topic of death at the dinner table with family. Let's talk about death for a while. We avoid it as much as we can, right? We want to think about happy things. We want to think about stress-free things, things that we like to talk about, like expanding the college football playoff or I don't know, what's trending on Netflix or raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens and all the fun stuff and all the good stuff to think about and the peaceful stuff. We don't want to talk about death, but listen to me, beloved. The fact that we avoid the topic of death all the time, and the fact that we don't want to live in the shadow of that reality is exactly why what Peter just said is such good news. That's why this matters so much. That's why this day is so amazing. Pay attention to what's happening right here, beloved. The Apostle Peter is clearly telling us right here that because of the fact that Jesus Christ has risen from the grave, we can all have hope. You can have hope, and you can have hope, and I can have hope, and everybody in here can have hope because of the reality that Jesus came out of the tomb, and the tomb's empty. And just so you know, the specific hope that we can all have that Peter's talking about here is this. If your trust today is in what Jesus did on that cross and the fact that he rose up from the grave and your belief and your faith is in that reality, then here's what it means. Physical death will not be the end for you. Well, watch this, family. Matter of fact, in another book of the Bible, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Because of what Christ has accomplished, physical death won't be the end. I love what Jesus says. It's like Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, when he says, if anyone believes in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. And you know what he did right after that? Raised Lazarus up from the grave. Called the brother out of a tomb. You know how he did it? He looked at the tomb and he said, Lazarus, come out. And I love what one theologian said. One theologian said, it's a really good thing. He said, Lazarus, come out. Because if all Jesus would have said is, come out, all the dead people would have come out. He had to specify. This is the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. To live as Christ, to die as gain. Here's the point. Let me say this clearly as possible, family. To be a Christian who fears death is to be a Christian who doesn't understand the power of the resurrection. To be a Christian who constantly lives under the torment of one day I'm going to die and I'm scared to die and I don't want to die. To be a Christian who fears death is to be a Christian who doesn't understand what Peter's talking about in 1 Peter chapter 1. Because according to the Bible, beloved, don't miss this. According to God's word, because Jesus Christ is alive, when you're a Christian, you don't have to fear death. But instead, when you're a Christian, death just becomes a lot like your car. It's just something that takes you where you want to go. Now follow this. You don't have to live in the shadow of death because Christ conquered death. And here's what's so crazy though. If you're not a follower of Jesus, if you're not a worshiper of Jesus, you never turned from your sin and trusted in Christ alone and what he accomplished for you on the cross and the fact that he rose up from the grave and proved that he is the Son of God and the Savior to all who believe. If you've never done that, I totally get why you'd be afraid to die. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Like if you live in the shadow of the fact that you're accountable for your sins and you never experienced forgiveness for your sins through what Christ accomplished, I get why you would be tormented by that. But the crazy thing for me is how many believers, man, how many Christians, how many people who believe this stuff right here are still freaked out and totally paralyzed at the thought of dying. I remember experiencing this some years ago, man. The very first time we ever took a Uganda mission trip here at the church. I remember it was like me and 9 people. A small little team. We were going to Uganda for the very first time to do ministry, to spread the gospel, to work alongside orphans, do all that stuff for Jesus, right? And it just so happened we were getting ready to go to Uganda when the Ebola outbreak was happening. But remember that stuff? Remember? Had a huge Ebola outbreak in Africa, and you would turn on cable news, and there'd be reporters in hazmat suits, and they're showing graphs, and here's how it's going to spread, and everybody's going to catch it, and the whole world's going to get Ebola. And it was like total fear, man. Everybody was like totally afraid. And here we are that very week getting ready to get on a plane and fly to the heart of Africa. I remember getting phone calls from like friends and family of mine who know Jesus. They like totally believe this stuff. I remember getting phone calls from them going, "Hey man, I've been thinking about that. You can't go to Africa. You cannot go to Africa." "Well, how come?" "Ebola. Ebola. What if you get Ebola?" "What are you saying?" "You could die. What if you die? You could totally die." I'm like, "Bro, you do understand I could die in America too, right? That's a thing. I don't know if you see, like, people die here every single day. There's not some death-free force field. We don't die. People die here every day. I could die here. I could totally die here in any number of ways, man. I go to Jimmy John's, choke on a turkey sandwich, die. Get attacked by a rabid cat, die. Be walking through the woods, get hit by a deer, die. I could die. You could die anyway. I could, any number of ways you can die. Listen, why in the world, are you kidding me? Why in the world am I gonna live the rest of my life terrified of something Jesus already conquered? That's the point of the resurrection. He conquered death. I don't have to fear death. I don't have to fear dying because Jesus already conquered the thing. If you want to, beloved, you can spend the rest of your life trying to avoid every risk possible because you're totally freaked out by death, or you can choose to actually believe the Bible and believe in the power of the resurrection, the significance of a day like today when we rejoice over the fact that Jesus has conquered death, which means for the Christian, there is no sting to death. Family, please hear me. The resurrection of Jesus gives us hope. It gives us hope. The second thing Peter clearly tells us about the resurrection of Jesus is this. You ready for this? Second thing he tells us is this. Number two, family, number two, the resurrection of Jesus gives us a right perspective. Now watch this, man. There's something about today and being reminded of the what Jesus accomplished through his resurrection. There's something about today that sort of presses reset on our perspective. How many of y'all have noticed your perspective tends to get real off? Anybody? Like sometimes you lose perspective on life and you get a wrong perspective. And I don't know about you. Here's what I've learned personally, man. I don't think there's anything that is more dangerous to getting us to or more likely to get our perspective off in life than pain and suffering, right? How many of y'all have noticed that when a can of suffering gets opened up on your life and poured out, how many of y'all have ever realized your perspective tends to get off? You tend to believe lies, you draw conclusions, you get afraid, right? Suffering has this way of causing us to totally lose perspective, right? And so here's the thing, Peter knows this, which is why Peter says what he does in verse 6. Watch this. He says, "In this you rejoice." Well, in what do we rejoice? Well, the gospel. In the gospel we rejoice. In the fact that God sent his only son to do everything that he did, to die on a cross, to rise up again so that we could be saved from sin, so that we could have a right relationship with God and victory over sin and death and hell. In that we rejoice, man. In that we throw a party. He says, "In this you rejoice." Look at it. "Though now, for a little while," you see that? "Though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right, so follow this. Here's what the Apostle Peter's pointing out for us. I think it's so profound. What Peter's reminding us of here is that one of the temptations that every single one of us up in here face is this right here, family. Whenever we experience trials or pain or a season of suffering, and we all do from time to time, right? Whenever we experience trials or bummers or pain or setbacks or obstacles or what the psalmist calls the valley of the shadow of death, whenever that happens, our temptation is to always believe that that pain is gonna last forever. You ever notice that? You ever notice that typically when pain happens in our lives, our mind instantly doesn't go, no, it's only temporary, it's only temporary. No, typically when pain happens, when tragedy happens, when suffering happens, typically what we begin to think to ourselves is this is, oh man, this is gonna last forever. This is just the way it's going to be. This pain, this suffering is just the way, it's never gonna end. This is never gonna end. It's kind of like middle school. Remember middle school? Anybody remember middle school? Remember the horrors of middle school, right? You're in seventh grade. What are you thinking? This is never going to be over. This is my life forever. How many times do I have to be thrown in a trash can? This is awful. This is never going to... Is that just me? You're thinking that pain's going to... And now, guess what? Now I'm 43. Now I look back on middle school. I'm like, what happened? Gone. In it, I'm like, it's never, this is what we do in pain. Pain happens in our lives and we're tempted to think, this is gonna last forever. That's how we feel because we've lost perspective. But notice for a moment, beloved, what Peter just said about your struggles here in verse 6. Look at it again. He says, in this you rejoice in the gospel. He says, though now for a little while, you walk through trials. What does he say? For a little while. On the count of three, everybody say a little while. You ready? One, two, three. A little while. Think about that. For a little while. A little while. Is it painful? Yeah. Does it hurt? Yeah. Do you really not like it? Uh-huh. But it's a little while. So follow this, family. What Peter's actually saying right here is this. These trials that you're experiencing, and you know what? Some of y'all came in here, you came in here limping because you're walking through trials right now and you're tempted to believe it's going to last forever. It's never going to end. The pain's never going to stop. But what Peter just told us right here, family, is that these trials that you're experiencing right now are not going to last forever. In fact, because it's true that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, and because it's true that you have eternal life, if your trust and your faith is in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, there is coming a day where even the most horrific and painful and brutal trial you ever experience is going to seem like nothing. It's going to seem like nothing in perspective. It's going to seem like nothing. I told y'all last Sunday that over spring break, a couple weeks ago, my wife and I took our daughters out of town. We took our daughters up to the mountains for a few days, and we loaded up the car. The day we were leaving, we loaded up the car with all of our bags and stuff, and we pull out of our neighborhood. We're not 2 miles up the road when, of course, our youngest daughter, on cue, like she always does, says from the back seat, "How much longer, Daddy? Daddy, how much longer? Daddy, how much longer? Hey, how much longer?" Now, in her 11 years of life, I've learned to never answer this question. At least not exactly answer it. I'm not gonna look at my phone and go, what's the estimated time? Okay. I'm not gonna say, well, 2.5 hours, 2 hours, 35 minutes. She will have a meltdown. She will revolt. What, 2.5 hours? What are we doing? Why don't we go on vacation in Lawrenceville? What do you think? What is it? Right? So I won't tell her that. What I learned years ago is, here's my blanket answer. Here's the answer I always get. How much longer, Daddy? How much longer? Daddy, how much longer? My answer is always this. Roughly 10 minutes. Roughly 10 minutes. Yeah, roughly 10 minutes. What does that mean, roughly 10 minutes? Well, 10 minutes, roughly. Half hour later, Daddy, how much longer? How much longer? Roughly 10 minutes. You said that 30 minutes ago. That's why I said roughly. It's roughly 10 minutes. And by the time we get there, she's totally forgot about how long it took, but that's my answer, is roughly 10 minutes. Family, here, essentially what Peter's telling us is this, man, I know your pain, it hurts, and I know your struggles hurt, and I know it stinks to walk through suffering, but here's the good news for a Christian. There's coming a day when you're gonna look back and it's gonna seem like that brutal pain lasted roughly 10 minutes because of what Christ has accomplished for you. See, here's how this works. Let me show you a number real quick. Put that number up if you don't mind, bro. Anybody know what that is? 78.74. Anybody want to take a stab at that? 78.74. Huh? What? Lifespan. The average lifespan for the average person, right? Right? I saw one guy back here. It's a square root of the... No. No. We're not smart enough for you here. 78.74 is the average lifespan for the average American. That's what it is today. The average lifespan for the average American is 78.74 years. Now, granted, some of us will be living longer than that, and we'll be telling our grandkids stories about what life was like before smartphones, and it was heavenly, wasn't it? Right? And others of us will live less than that, depending on how much bacon you eat. But for the sake of this illustration, let's just pretend like that's what I get. Let's pretend like that's what I get is a good solid 78.74 years to live. That's my lifespan. Well, you know what the Bible tells me? The Bible makes it real clear to me that after my 78.74 years is over, all the days written down in God's book are over for me, and I've eaten my last ribeye steak, and I've taken my last breath, and I step into eternity. When that happens, after my 78.74 years, the Bible tells me that there's going to be another 78.74 years, and another 78.74 years, and another 78.74 years, and another 78.74 years, times infinity and beyond in eternity. And that 78.74 years times infinity in eternity in the presence of King Jesus, by the way, in the new heavens and the new earth, and which, by the way, according to the Bible, is going to be filled with no more tears and no more pain and no more death and no more COVID and no more taxes and no more cancer and no more presidential elections to make you want to rip your hair out. Amen? Amen. And no more traffic on I-285. After that, in eternity, that span of time in eternity, it's going to make this little bitty 78.74 years seem like a drop in the ocean. And this is what the resurrection does for us. It gives us a right perspective. I mean, the pain, the suffering we experience in this life, if you're a believer, I got good news for you. It lasts a little while. And it's like the Apostle Paul said in the New Testament. He said, I consider that our present sufferings aren't worth comparing to the glory that's going to be revealed to us. And I promise you, family, when I'm in eternity, the thing that's going to matter more than anything else is not how much money did I make, how many square feet did my house have, did I have a Tesla, where were my abs, right? None of that's going to matter. The thing that's going to matter more than anything else, the main issue in eternity is going to be this: who did I live for? Did I spend that 78.74 year block of time building my little kingdom for little old me, which, by the way, is going to be forgotten in two generations if it lasts that long? Or did I live for the risen King of the universe who gave me eternal life, who reigns eternal? Beloved, listen, somewhere along the line, here's what we all need to understand. What you live for is far more important than how long you live. You can live to be 110 years old and have a foundation that's built on sand that's going to pass away and it all meant nothing. You can live to be 14 years old and have a foundation that's built on the rock of Christ Jesus and leave an eternal legacy. What you live for is far more important than the troubles of this life that only last for a little while. And this is the amazing, fantastic perspective that we all gain when we remember the resurrection of Jesus. That's why we do this. It's why this matters today. And then finally, beloved, the third thing that Peter's saying to us right here is this. Jot this down if you're taking notes. Number three, the resurrection of Jesus gives us a reason to celebrate in all circumstances. Underline that word, all. The resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us, meaning those of us in here who are saved by the grace of Christ, our faith is in Jesus alone for our salvation. The resurrection of Jesus gives us a reason to celebrate in all circumstances. Look at what he says in verse 8. Though you have not seen him, meaning Jesus, Christ the Lord, though you've not seen him, you love him. Though you did not see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Beloved, hear me, listen. if you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your many sins and rose from the grave, and if you believe that the tomb is empty today, listen, you have a reason to celebrate. Do you hear me? You got a reason to celebrate. You really do. You got a reason to get loud. You got a reason to kind of be crazy. You got a reason to celebrate. Why? Why? Well, here's the answer. It's because the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the grave means this for you. No matter how bad this life may get for you, guess what? You still got eternal life. And nothing can take away that eternal life. COVID can't take away eternal life. Cancer can't take away eternal life. Being betrayed by someone you love can't take away eternal life. Financial ruin cannot take away eternal life. You are hidden with Christ in God, and nothing and no one can snatch you out of his hand. And I don't know if you know this, but that is far more than any of us deserve. So just so you know, since that's true, that if your faith is in what Jesus Christ has accomplished, you've got eternal life. Since that's true, you should maybe smile. Let's try it, everybody. Let's try it. Come on. Seriously, let's try it. I know some of you are recovering Presbyterians, but it's loud, I promise. There's not a verse. Come on, let's do it. You should smile. And since it's true that you've got eternal life and nothing can take away eternal life, if your faith is in Jesus, nothing can take away your eternal life. Since that's true, you should maybe stop whining about all the stuff you don't have. And you should maybe start being real grateful for all the stuff that you do have. Because according to Ephesians chapter 2, the only thing I actually deserve in this life is hell forever. I'm by nature an object of God's wrath because of my sin, but God, who is rich in mercy, sent Jesus for us. And since it's true that you've got eternal life in Jesus because of what Christ has accomplished through his death and his resurrection, and your faith is in Christ, since that's true that you've got eternal life and nothing can take it away, you should maybe stop griping about every little inconvenience that happens in your world. Because I got a promise for you, family. Do you know this? No matter what kind of inconvenience happens to you in your life, it's still better than hell. Do you know that? You should maybe remind yourself of that too when inconveniences happen. You stub your pinky toe on the kitchen table. Oh, better than hell. Better than hell. Stuck in traffic on 285, it's better than hell. It's close, but it's better than hell. You're close. Better than hell. And since it's true that you got eternal life and nothing can take away your eternal life, you should maybe rejoice and you should maybe give thanks, because if your faith is in Jesus Christ today and if you actually believe that that tomb is empty, then here's what's totally true about you. This world with all its bummers is the closest to hell you're ever gonna get. So like if your faith isn't in Jesus today, I get why you might be a little like Eeyore, and I get why life might be a little sad and down for you, and there's always a gray cloud, because the reality is, man, if you live your life rejecting Jesus and hearing gospel messages like this and choosing to not say yes to Jesus and not bow the knee to the God who loves you, has given everything for you, and if you die in your sins, the Bible is clear that this world is the closest to heaven you'll ever get. This world with all its disappointment, with all its tragedy, with all its disease, with all its sickness, the closest to heaven you ever get, because you refuse to accept a free gift that God would want to lavish on you through Jesus. This world is the closest to hell that any Christian saved by grace will ever get. And I don't know about you, that's a reason to celebrate. That's a reason to celebrate. I mean, that's a reason to say amen. That'd make a Baptist dance. That'd make a Presbyterian smile. Make an Episcopalian, not be weird, right? I stick to my notes. Here's the deal. Having this incredible gift called eternal life has an amazing way of putting all of our bummers and sufferings in total perspective. Let me ask you a question. What does your future look like? I'm gonna end with this. What's your future look like? And what I mean by that is this. Did you know the Bible's clear on this? Every single one of us will be somewhere one moment after we die. Like, well, I don't believe that. Well, just because you don't believe it doesn't mean it's not true. The Bible's clear. Every single one of us will be somewhere one moment after we die. Jesus says it this way in the Gospel of John chapter 3. Pastor Brian read this at our Good Friday service on Friday night. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Do you see this, family? In other words, according to Jesus, not some preacher, not some random author, according to Jesus himself, the resurrected King of the universe, some of us will experience eternal life. Which means because of all that Christ accomplished, because he really came to this earth and he really lived a perfect life and he really died on a cross willingly for your sin and he really rose again from the grave and he did it all out of his great love for sinners like you, because we trusted in that gospel truth, we will one day live with God forever. New heavens, new earth, new resurrected body, new song to sing forever. That's an amazing truth. But others of us, according to Jesus, others of us, according to Jesus, will experience a future of eternal condemnation. And did you catch what Jesus said there in John 3? Experience a future of eternal condemnation. And at the end of the day, it's not because Jesus outright rejected you. It's because you outright rejected Jesus. And the tragedy is that if you reject Jesus and refuse to bow the knee to Jesus and trust in Jesus and admit the fact that you're a sinner, you've fallen short of God's perfection and you need a Savior to bridge the gap, and that is Jesus, and he did all for you out of love for you, and he gave his life for you, and he rose again from the grave, proving that he is who he says he is. If you refuse to trust in that reality, then this world will be the closest to heaven. The closest to heaven you ever get. So what does your future look like? Have you ever said yes to Jesus? Have you ever said yes to the King of Glory who sits on a throne, who's coming back one day for his people? Have you said yes to Jesus? Do you have the confidence that this world is the closest to hell you're ever gonna get? And perhaps you're here today and you're like, no, I don't. I don't have the peace that I have actual peace with God. I don't have the confidence that I have a relationship with this God you're talking about. I don't have the confidence that this world's the closest to hell I'm ever gonna get, because I know Jesus and he paid it all to him I owe. I don't have that confidence today. And if that's you and you're like, man, I don't know that I have peace with God and forgiveness of my sins, then here's the really good news for you on this Easter Sunday. Here's the really good, awesome news. You know what the scripture says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9? It's beautiful. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There are people who are going to spend eternity in the presence of their Creator, who loves them, who made them, who pursued them, who gave it all for them. They're going to spend an eternity in his presence. And you know what? It's not going to be because they kept a bunch of rules. It's not going to be because they were really religious. It's not going to be because they faithfully attended church every single Sunday. It's going to be because they said yes to Jesus. Yes to grace. Yes to his mercy, yes to his love, yes to what he did on that cross, yes to the fact that he's risen from the grave. And if you're here today, man, and you're like, hey, I wanna say yes to Jesus today. Today's a pivot point. Today I wanna say yes to Jesus. I wanna turn from my sin and I wanna trust in Jesus as Savior. I wanna know that I have a relationship with God. We tried to make this real easy for you and we've been praying for you all week. We've got these cards in the seat back in front of you. All they say on them is yes. Today I put my faith in Jesus as my personal Savior. You can fill it out on the back. You can put it in one of the boxes near the doors. You can put it in the basket at the Welcome Center in the lobby. We would love for you. If God's moving in your heart today, and this Easter Sunday here to Emmaus, we would love for you to let us know. We're gonna reach out to you. Another way we could do, more 21st century way, more of a digital kind of way, is you can just text this number right here. Text the word Jesus. Text the name Jesus to that number right there to let us know that God's moving in your heart. You want to have a conversation, at least conversation, about what it means to trust in Jesus, to turn from sin and trust in Jesus as your great God and Savior. We're going to reach out to you. I promise we're not going to make it creepy and weird. Nobody's going to show up at your doorstep during dinner, okay? We want to reach out to you. We want to put an arm around you of encouragement. We want to encourage you, because it's the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life, is to say yes to the King who died for you. No one has ever loved you like Jesus. And for those of you in here today who already love Jesus And the whole time I've been up here talking, you just had a big smile on your face. You're like, look at that guy sweating. Isn't that gross? But I just love Jesus, and I'm just happy it's Easter, right? For those of you in here, you already love Jesus, and you trust Jesus, and you're saved by the grace of Jesus. Just like Peter said in these verses, may this be a day when you rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Amen? Let's pray together, family. As we do every Sunday, beloved, we've got the table set up. For those of you in here who love Jesus, your trust is in Jesus, you're a Christian, you name the name of Jesus, you're saved by grace because of what Jesus did for you. You're unashamed of Jesus. We've got the table set up for you to participate in the Lord's Supper as we do every Sunday here. You go and you take the bread representing the body of Jesus that was nailed to a cross for you, for me, sinners like us. You take the cup representing the blood of Christ that was shed for the forgiveness of your sins. And you remember the good news of the gospel, and it's just like Peter said, in this we rejoice. In this we rejoice that God would love us all the way to a cross. That 3 days after that, he would glorify his great name through a resurrection from the dead. He has conquered death. He has conquered the grave. There is no sting to death anymore for those who know Christ. Lord Jesus, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for Easter Sunday and all that it means. And Lord, a lot of us today, we're gonna be spending the day with family, gathered around tables, eating food, having egg hunts, eating candy, finding gold eggs from grandma. And Lord, I love that. And I pray that behind it all, we would remember what this day is actually about, the resurrection of King Jesus. You rule, you reign, you're on a throne. I pray for anybody in here who doesn't know you as their Savior that today would be the pivot point. Today would be the day of salvation for them when they say yes to the King who died for them and who rose again. And I pray it all through your matchless name. Amen.